Good evening. This is Patrick Donahue. Appreciate you listening every week at this same time to Bible Crossfire. We've been talking the last several weeks about the fact that it's not enough, good enough, just to believe in Jesus. You have to also follow his teachings. For example, 2 John verse 9 reads this way: "Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son." So let's suppose somebody believes in Jesus, but they don't follow his teachings. They don't abide in the doctrine, the teaching of Christ. It says they don't have God. If you believe in Christ, but you're not following his teachings, you do not have God. And there's no way anybody can be saved without God. The only way we can be saved is through the grace and mercy of God. It's not enough just to believe in Jesus. You have to follow his teachings. I think this is one of the main problems in the denominational world today, is a lot of people think all you have to do is accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You'll be saved. That's all you have to do. But we see from this verse and many others that you have to also follow Jesus' teachings to have God, to be pleasing to God, to be saved. Now, one thing that we could talk about when it comes to his teaching that's highly controversial today is homosexuality or gay marriage. You see, it's not enough just to believe in Jesus. You have to follow his teachings. And his teachings are very clear against homosexuality. It is a sin. Let me read Romans 1, 24, and then 26 and 27 to prove that to you. But before I do, if you have a Bible question or comment, the lines are wide open. Any Bible question or comment is fair game. The only rule we have is that the answers to the questions are going to come from the Bible. The Bible, being God's word, will decide all answers. You remember Jesus said in John 17, 17, "Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth." So the word of God defines for us what the truth is. So the answer to every Bible or religious question is going to be the Bible answer. We're not going to just talk about what I think or what you think, or what I like or what you like, or what will bring in the most people. It's what does the Bible say. And here's what the Bible says in Romans 1 about gay marriage. You know, verse 24 to begin with: "Wherefore God also gave them up unto uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves." So far, we know that God, this verse is talking about something that's unclean, something that will dishonor their bodies. And then verse 26 and 27, it says, "For this cause God gave them up into vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use of that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burning their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which is meat." 26 is talking about what we call lesbianism, women changing the natural use into that which is against nature. 27 is what we talk about when we talk about gay men. It says the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly. That's gay men having sex with one another. The Bible condemns homosexuality in that passage very clearly. That is the teaching of Christ on the matter. It doesn't matter what people think. I mentioned about Bible question or comment. If you have a Bible question or comment, the number to call is 877-655-6755. The lines are wide open. The number to call if you have a Bible question or comment is 877-655-6755. Now, I've debated with the gay church 8 or 10 or 12 times. One of the first things they want to try to say is that homosexuals are born that way, so they can't help it. But did you notice when we were reading Romans 1, 26 and 27, it didn't just teach that homosexuality was a sin. It teaches that it's an unnatural. I think it says it three times. It says they're changing the natural use to that which is against nature, leaving the natural use of the woman. Now, I'm going to get kind of blunt here. I think, I'm trying to explain what this is talking about, how this is unnatural. I think we could tell without the Bible that homosexuality is not the right way to go. Here's what I mean by that. you can look at the physical anatomy of the male and the female, the body parts, and you know exactly what's supposed to happen sexually. Male does not go with male any more than in plumbing will a male part and a male part fit together. Now, it's going to leak every time if you try that. Female does not go with female in plumbing or in what we're talking about, homosexuality. You can look at the body parts, the human anatomy of the male and the female, and you can tell, even without the Bible, what's supposed to go on. It's unnatural. Don't let anybody tell you that homosexuals are born that way. They did a study. Yale and Columbia Universities did a study, and they found that homosexuality common to only 6.7% of male identical twins and 5.3% of female identical twins. Now, if you're talking about identical twins, if homosexuality was a gene, if genetic, it should have been 100%. If you're talking about two identical twins, if one was gay, then the other would be gay. But that's not the way it was. Only 6.7% of male identical twins, 5.3% of female identical twins. No, it should have been 100%, but it wasn't. Which shows there is no gay gene. The identical twins, if one's gay, the other one's not, hardly any more chance of being gay than if they were not twins. Those studies prove that there is no gay gene. It's unnatural, according to Romans 1. It says it three times. Unnatural. Let's talk about it. You know, God gave us natural desires. Like, we all have a desire for food. Now, you can either satisfy that natural desire legally, scripturally, by working, or you can satisfy your natural desire for food by stealing food. So nothing wrong with the desire for food. That's natural. God gave it to us. It's a good thing. But you can satisfy that desire either unlawfully or lawfully, according to the scriptures. Homosexuality, though, is said to be unnatural. It's not a natural desire like the natural, like your natural desire for food. Or when a young man who's grown up normally reaches puberty, he's going to have a natural desire for a young woman. Now, he can either satisfy that natural desire lawfully by marriage, through marriage, or unlawfully through fornication or adultery. But the desire itself, the young man for the young woman, is a natural thing. Homosexual desire is unnatural. That's what it says three times in Romans 1. That should tell us right there that gays are not born that way. They're not born that way. You can tell if their argument is if they're born that way, then God's not going to make it a sin to be a homosexual. Well, if God says that it's a sin in Romans 1, that proves they're not born that way. No, they're not born that way. We are born white or black, male or female, Chinese or American. We have no choice in that kind of thing. Neither one's any better than the other. But homosexuality, we have a choice in that. And homosexuality is a sinful choice. Sinful choice. We're not born that way. Now, let's talk specifically about gay marriage. We've been talking about homosexuality. Let's talk about gay marriage. When a debate in the gay churches, and by the way, I'm willing to have a public debate on that with any gay church, on homosexuality, women preachers, I'm willing to debate the Calvinist on their points, the 5 points of Calvinism, willing to debate baptism, once saved, always saved. Public debates are, when we do those things, we're emulating what Jesus and Paul and Stephen did in the Bible. But when I debate the gay marriage churches, they'll sometimes say, Jesus says nothing about homosexuality. Well, he did. In Matthew 19, 4 and 5, when he's defining marriage, he says, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning, referring back to Genesis 2, 24, he that made them at the beginning made them male and female. And said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. In defining marriage, Jesus said that God made them male and female. Male and female are supposed to get married, not male getting married to male or female getting married to female. You know, even if Jesus hadn't said anything directly about homosexuality, the fact that we see it in the later books of the Bible proves that Jesus is against it. Because in passages like John 16, 13, Jesus said, I'm about to leave. I'm paraphrasing this part, but I'm going to send the Holy Ghost and he will guide you into all the truth. So all the books that Paul wrote, including Romans 1 and 1 Corinthians 6, which we're going to talk about in just a minute, that condemn homosexuality, he was guided into the truth by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit God the Father, God the Son, when Paul wrote, they're telling him what to say. And so what's written in Romans 1 was written by Paul, of course, but it's written by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scriptures inspired of God. Therefore, that in effect is God condemning homosexuality. If you have a Bible question or comment, please call us at 877-655-6755. 877-655-6755. Now, I want you to compare what we've learned from these scriptures so far to the Presbyterian, this quote from Time Magazine 2015. The Presbyterian Church voted to redefine the church constitutional marriage to include a commitment between two people. Now, while ago, we watched Jesus in Matthew 19, 4 through 6, define marriage as between male and female. That's the Bible definition for marriage, scriptural marriage. The Presbyterian Church had the audacity, I would call it, they were being arrogant, to redefine. God defined marriage as male and female. They're saying, no, it's a commitment between two people. So a man can marry a man, a woman can marry a woman. Can you imagine? Now, 1 Corinthians 7, verse 2 says, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife and let every woman have her own husband. It doesn't say, let every man have his own husband or let every woman have her own wife. No, the cutesy saying is right. It's Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. You get it? Now, let me ask you this. We've established that homosexuality and gay marriage is sinful. What would a gay married couple have to do upon repentance? Now, they got to repent to be forgiven. Homosexuals can be forgiven. It's just like any other sin. They can be forgiven if they repent. They're going to have to quit the sin, aren't they? What would a homosexual have to do to be forgiven? He's going to have to repent. What would repentance mean for a homosexual? He's got to quit committing the sin of homosexuality. What about a gay married couple? What are they going to have to do to get forgiveness? They're going to have to repent. They're going to have to terminate the gay marriage. What about an adulterous married couple? We'll talk about this in just a minute. John from Indiana, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Hi, how are you? I never listened to your show before. I got just kind of a weird question. And this is not a got you question or whatever, but what do you say to people when they tell you that, give me 100% that Jesus exists?
Well, first of all, the Bible is a historical book, just like any other book. Lots and lots of manuscripts attest to the fact that it was written long ago, and it's historically accurate. So when the Bible is just think of it as a history book, not a book from God, just a history book. It talks about this man, Jesus, walking around the earth, preaching and things like that. And we have other books in that time frame. Like, have you ever heard the name Josephus, John?
I have not.
Josephus is a Jewish historian writing in the first century time frame, and he was not a Christian, but he wrote about Jesus and said, there's this man, Jesus, and he's got a lot of followers and things like that. So history, Bible, from the Bible and from other historical books, claim that Jesus existed. Does that answer your question, John?
It doesn't. Where is he? Why hasn't he come back yet? It's been how many thousands of years? And again, I'm not trying to put you on the spot. It's just a question that I have. I get it that these people wrote it down in books and things like that. But, and it's an unfair question to you. I understand that. But what do you tell people that, where is he? Why hasn't he come back? What prevents him from coming back today?
So here's 2 Peter 3. Now, I want you to take a moment, and I'm going to try to answer your question. Okay, John?
Okay.
Here's 2 Peter 3, verse 3. It says, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where's the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. So they had that same question in the days when Peter was writing. And he writes that they're ignorant, that he basically says, and then I'm going to skip a few verses and get down to why he tells us why God keeps putting off the second coming of Christ. Verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, meaning his promise that Jesus would come again. but it's long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. When Jesus comes back, John, everybody's fate will be sealed. When you die and when I die, our fate are going to be sealed. But when Jesus comes back, every single person that's alive at that time, billions of people, their fate is going to be sealed at that moment. And because of that, God keeps putting off the second coming of Christ. And this verse says, to give people a chance to repent so they won't perish spiritually. Now, that answers your question, John. It's right there in 2 Peter 3. They had the same question back then, and Peter answers it.
But these people that wrote back then, it doesn't mean that it's true. And again, I'm not doubting. I stopped going to church, and I'll be honest with you, I've never really read the Bible, so I'm at a disadvantage. And maybe I shouldn't be talking. I don't know.
So it doesn't matter when this was written. What the logic in what Peter said here is true no matter what year you're in. The logic is still the same. No matter what the logic is still the same, no matter how, whenever he does it. I accidentally hung up on John. I'm sorry about that. Accidentally hung up. The logic is still the same. God keeps putting off the second coming of Christ to give more people chance to repent so they won't perish. That was true then, and it's still true today. That answers the question clearly and definitely. Now, we're talking about homosexuality and gay marriage. We were talking about that gay married couples, to repent and be forgiven, they have to terminate their gay marriage. Everybody agrees with that, right? All the religious people I know agree with that. But what about adulterous married people? Adulterous marriages. Matthew 19:9, Jesus says, "And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whoso marrieth her which is put away doth commit adultery." So Jesus says, if you put your wife away for any reason other than fornication and marry another, you commit adultery. That second marriage is an adulterous marriage. Or if somebody marries the put away woman, they're committing adultery. That marriage is an adulterous marriage. So if, say, you're listening to this program and you're in your second or third marriage, maybe you go to a church and they accept you as you are. Most churches do. It doesn't make it right. If you want to be forgiven for that adulterous marriage that you're in, the second or third marriage, you're going to have to terminate that marriage just like a gay marriage. It's got to be terminated. Repentance of adultery means stopping the adultery. You got to quit sleeping with that wife you have no right to, just like gay marriage demands that you quit. They quit sleeping together. The sexual intercourse has to stop in both cases. You have to repent of your sin to be forgiven. So if you're in an adulterous marriage, as defined by Matthew 19:9, a second or third marriage, and you didn't divorce your spouse for adultery, then you're in a marriage that Jesus calls adultery. If you want to go to heaven, if you want to be forgiven of that, you're going to have to repent of that, and that means you got to terminate the marriage, just like a gay marriage has to be terminated. If you have a Bible question or comment, call us at 877-655-6755. 877-655-6755. Now, the Old Testament, we've been talking about the New Testament, the Old Testament also condemned homosexuality. Here's Leviticus 20, verse 13. If a man also lie with mankind, as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination, they shall surely be put to death. Now, this is the Old Testament. We're not under the Old Testament anymore, but this shows that it was wrong under the Old Testament. This is not talking about two little boys, brothers, who have to sleep in the same bed because there's not enough beds to go around. It's a man sleeping with another man as he would with a woman, meaning sexually. The verse says that's an abomination. Abomination is a word usually reserved for the worst sins or crimes. This is a pretty bad sin. It's an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. That if they got caught in this sin, the sin of homosexuality, it was the death penalty. Now, have you ever got caught speeding by a policeman? Did he give you the death penalty? No, that's considered a minor infraction. He just gives you a ticket. The death penalty would be reserved for major sins or crimes. So we know this sin, homosexuality, was a very serious sin because it's called an abomination, and it carried with it the death penalty. Jacob from Virginia, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Yes, sir. The guy that's called a while ago, John.
Yeah.
The Bible is true, my friend. God is everlasting. And
that's right.
The gay marriages and stuff, you need to tell them about. the end times are near. The days will be like Noah.
Hey, we don't know necessarily know when Jesus is coming back. The Bible says that we don't know that.
It tells you that exactly, because he even says it. I don't even know the time. Only God knows the time.
Even Jesus didn't know when the second coming was going to be. The Bible is right. Jesus said in John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And then we get to the more New Testament passages. In Jude verse 7, it says, even as Sodom and Gomorrah, and we find this story in Genesis 19, 1 through 24, and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. So Sodom and Gomorrah, referring back to Genesis, says they were going after strange flesh. That condemned homosexuality right there.
Revelations about it.
Jacob, do you have any other comments?
I'm just going to tell you in the end times it'll be.
And then in 1 Timothy 1, 9 and 10, it says, we also know this. The law was not made for a good man, but for people who are lawless, rebels, ungodly, sinners, unholy, not religious, father killers, mother killers, murderers, sexual sinners, homosexuals, slave traders, liars, and those who break promises. These and other things are against the healthy teaching as found in the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which he trusted to me. That's the simple English New Testament of 1 Timothy 1, 9 and 10. You notice it's another list of sins, and on that list is homosexuals. The New Testament clearly condemns homosexuality. I mentioned that the Old Testament does. And I said, well, yeah, we're not under the Old Testament, but if it was a sin during Old Testament times, then that proves they weren't born that way. Because if they were born that way, it wouldn't have been a sin even during Old Testament times. And then I mentioned earlier, 1 Corinthians 6, 9 and 10, it says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, neither homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. We have a list of sins. The people guilty of these sins will not inherit the kingdom of God. It's not saying they can't be forgiven. A drunkard can be forgiven if he quits drinking. A homosexual can be forgiven if he quits being a homosexual. Stops the practice. This is talking about people who are involved in these sins and they don't repent. They're not forgiven. It says they will not inherit the kingdom of God. It says the homosexuals and the sodomites. That's both male homosexual roles. The one who takes the male role, he's called the sodomite here. The one who takes the female role, the effeminate role, in the gay man-to-man relationship, he's called the homosexual here. Both types are condemned. Homosexuality is condemned all throughout the Bible, Old Testament and New. It's a sin. It's not enough just to believe in Jesus. You have to follow his teachings, and his teachings are that homosexuality is a sin. It's wrong, and you cannot go to heaven as long as you are in that sin. You got to repent of it, get out of it, just like any other sin, just like adulterous marriages, lying, stealing, cussing. You got to quit all those sins if you want to be pleasing to God and go to heaven. Now, can homosexuals stop this sin if they put their mind to it? Some people, we can't stop it. We're born that way. Remember, we just read 1 Corinthians 6, 9, and 10, which condemned homosexuality. Well, verse 11 says this, and such were, past tense, some of you. So what is Paul saying here? These people are the list of sins, including homosexuals. He says, and such were some of you, meaning they had stopped those sins. It is not true that a homosexual cannot quit being a homosexual, because here in 1 Corinthians 6, 9, and 10, it condemns homosexuality and says, such were some of you. They had been homosexuals past tense, but they weren't anymore. They had stopped their sin. So it's not enough just to believe in Jesus. You have to follow his teachings, and you have to follow his teachings, which says that homosexuality is a sin. Gay marriage is wrong. People who are homosexuals or in gay marriages are going to have to terminate those relationships if they want to go to heaven. Same with adulterous marriages, marriages that are in violation of Matthew 19, 9. Same with them. You got to terminate the sin, quit the sin, if you want to be forgiven for it. If you would like to have a free one-hour phone Bible study with me sometime at your convenience, call or text me at 256-682-9753. You want to ask me a Bible question over the internet, or sign up for a Bible correspondence course, or listen to old programs, go to BibleCrossfire.com, BibleCrossfire.com. free 1 hour phone Bible study with me, call me, text me at 256-682-9753.